Welcome to a special edition of 1010 Thrive, part of our series, Jesus in Every Book of the Bible.
As the appointed governor of Judah, Zerubbabel had the monumental task of leading the effort to rebuild the Jerusalem temple after the return from exile. This project symbolized the restoration of the Jewish people and their covenant relationship with God. His leadership was marked by his dedication to this cause. Despite significant external opposition and internal discouragement among the people, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, served as the high priest during the same period as Zerubbabel's governorship. He too was born during the Babylonian captivity and returned to Jerusalem as part of the exiled community that was allowed to return under the decree of King Cyrus of Persia. His role was crucial in re-establishing the religious practices and spiritual oversight of the newly reconstituted community. As the high priest, Joshua was responsible for restoring and maintaining the religious services and sacrifices that were central to Jewish worship and identity. His partnership with Zerubbabel was essential for the successful rebuilding of the temple, where he led in both spiritual renewal and religious reforms. The rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem began in 536 BC. However, due to opposition from neighboring peoples and subsequent political complications, the work was halted shortly after it started. It was not until 520 BC that the construction resumed. The temple was finally completed 4 years later. Now, the day has finally arrived for the dedication.
Zerubbabel, my brother, as we stand before this testament to God's faithfulness, I am moved by the magnitude of what has been accomplished through His divine will and our combined efforts. Remember the words spoken through Haggai, "Be strong, Zerubbabel," declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty.
Indeed, Joshua, those words have been the foundation of my determination. There were days when placing each stone felt like a monumental challenge, shadowed by doubt and opposition. Yet, here we stand. Your leadership in the spiritual renewal of our people has been indispensable, Joshua. As the high priest, you've not only overseen the religious aspects of this rebuilding, but have also been a pillar of spiritual strength to our community.
And you, Zerubbabel, have been the Lord's instrument, leading us with courage and unwavering faith. Our partnership under God's command has been a profound journey. As Zechariah prophesied, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. This temple stands as a beacon of that truth.
Indeed, it does. And as we prepare to dedicate this temple, let us remind the people of God's sovereignty and His eternal covenant. Let us tell them of the greater glory this house will see, a glory that surpasses the former, as Haggai proclaimed.
Let us also instill in their hearts that this temple is more than stone and wood. It is a symbol of their own spiritual renewal, a call to return to the Lord with all their heart. For as this temple stands restored, so must their spirits be rekindled with fervor for the Lord.
Your words ring true, Joshua. As we dedicate this temple, let it also be a dedication of our hearts, a renewal of our covenant with the Lord. For the God who has brought us back from exile and enabled us to rebuild this temple will also restore the hearts of His people.
Amen to that, Zerubbabel. Let us go forth with hearts full of joy and mouths filled with God's praises. For our eyes have seen His salvation, and this day marks a new beginning for our people. And speaking of going forth, I must check if the Levites need any help finalizing the choice of psalms for the opening service.
Do not hesitate on my account. I will be fine up here, alone with my thoughts for a bit longer. Until the dedication. Today marks not just a ceremony of dedication, but a profound personal reflection on the journey that brought us here, from the depths of Babylonian captivity to the heights of this sacred assembly in Jerusalem. I was but a youth in the shadows of Babylon, where the rivers did not sing like the brooks of Judah, and where the willows whispered of a homeland lost. Born during our exile, I grew under the heavy yoke of a foreign empire, yet nurtured by the prophecies of return and restoration. Our deliverance by Cyrus's decree was a dawn of hope, a promise revived, urging us back to the land sworn to our ancestors. As the governor of Judah, the weight of my lineage bore down upon me. I bore not only the legacy of King David's line, but the collective aspirations of a people yearning for their place in God's covenant. The journey back to Jerusalem was a pilgrimage of faith, each step a testament to God's enduring mercy and our persistent resolve. Our arrival revealed a Jerusalem in ruins, the splendor of Solomon's temple, but a memory carried in the hearts of the elderly, who wept at the sight of desolation. The task before us was monumental, stirring a tempest of doubt and fear in my heart. Could we, a band of exiles, rebuild the glory that once was? The prophets Haggai and Zechariah became God's mouthpiece to us, their oracles piercing the fog of our despair, commanding us to rise, build, and be strong. Zechariah, with his visions, spoke of things too great for the moment, yet essential for the sustenance of our spirits. He saw a future where the temple stood not just as a structure of stones and cedar, but as a beacon of God's ongoing presence among us. His words, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit," became the bedrock upon which we laid each stone, reminding us that this temple was to be rebuilt not by the strength of our hands alone, but by the indwelling power of the Almighty. Haggai, with his direct and urgent messages, confronted our misplaced priorities and spiritual lethargy. He challenged us to consider our ways, to look beyond our paneled houses and see the house of the Lord lying in ruins. His assurance that the glory of this latter house would surpass the former was a balm to our weary souls. It was Haggai who declared that God would shake the heavens and the earth, that he would overthrow thrones and destroy the strength of kingdoms. And it was Haggai who saw me as the signet ring on God's hand, a symbol of chosen authority and divine favor, reversing the curse pronounced upon my grandfather, Jehoiakim. I cannot forget how Zechariah's words about the day of small things resonated deeply with us, especially during times of doubt and ridicule from both foes and friends. When the foundation of this temple was laid, it was apparent how modest it was compared to the grandeur of Solomon's temple. Many wept, disheartened by its seeming insignificance. But Zechariah challenged us to see beyond the present, to recognize the value in the small beginnings and the great things God can and will accomplish through them. His assurance was that the Lord rejoiced to see the work begin, even with the simple plumb line in my hand. Moreover, Zechariah's vision of me and Joshua, standing beside the branch, a symbol of the one who is to come, the one who will redeem the house of Israel, was particularly stirring. He portrayed a future where this temple would not only be a physical place of worship, but also a symbolic center of God's salvific work through the coming king. Like Haggai, Zechariah also spoke directly to the political and spiritual leadership roles that Joshua and I hold. Through him, the Lord reassured us of his support and our appointed roles in his divine plan. This helped in solidifying our leadership at a time when internal disputes and external threats could have easily fragmented our fledgling community. Joshua, with his priestly garments and steadfast devotion, stood by me as we faced the opposition of adversaries and the skepticism of our own people. Together, we navigated the political and spiritual rebuilding of a nation, each of us playing roles ordained by divine decree. As I reflect on the path that led us here, I am profoundly moved by the mercy of God, who has been our constant guide and protector. Today, as I prepare to address our people, my heart is heavy yet hopeful. This temple is not just for our generation, but for the ages. It is the place where the Promised One, from our line, will one day walk, teach, and heal. It is the place that will host the presence of God Himself in a way that Solomon's temple never did. May this house be a house of prayer for all nations, and may the glory of this latter house indeed be greater than the former, as the Lord has promised. Today, as this temple stands ready to be dedicated, Zechariah's prophecies remind us that what we have built with our hands is far more than stone and timber. It is a beacon of hope, a testament to God's faithfulness, and a precursor to the greater works God will accomplish through the Chosen One.